It is many years since the story I'm going to tell you happened. But that's all the more reason for telling it. It would be a pity if it were forgotten. The Emperor had the most beautiful palace in all the world. It was made of porcelain, so delicate and fragile, you had to be very careful how you moved about in it. The garden was full of exquisite flowers. On the rarest and most beautiful, tiny silver bells were hung so that people passing by would be sure to notice them. Indeed, everything in the Emperor's garden had been most ingeniously planned, and it was so large that the gardener himself didn't know the full extent of it. If you kept on walking long enough, you came to a wonderful forest with great trees and fathomless lakes. The forest grew all the way down to the deep blue sea. The trees stretched their branches over the water, and large ships could sail right under them. Here lived a nightingale who sang so sweetly that even the poor fisherman, who had so much else to attend to, would stop and listen to her as he drew in his nets at night. "How beautiful that is," he would say. Then he had to get back to his work and forget about the bird. But the next night, when he came to tend his nets and heard her singing, he would say again, "How beautiful that is."
The Emperor and the Nightingale by Hans Christian Andersen, as told here by Glenn Close, with music by Mark Isham. The tale here is set in China, but this is music of the Nightingale for a telling of the story, the same story, set at the German court instead. This is The Nightingale in Love by François Couperin, and it becomes a recurring theme throughout a special concert for the whole family to be presented by the Bach Choir of Bethlehem and the Bach Festival Orchestra in collaboration with the Mock Turtle Marionette Theatre this Sunday afternoon at 3 at the Zollner Arts Center at Lehigh University in Bethlehem. There will be music by Bach, Mozart, and even William Balcom. Bridget George is executive director of the Bach Choir, and we had a chance to talk with her about this intriguing adaptation of the Hans Christian Andersen fairy tale and the Bach Choir's long-standing commitment to engaging young people with music and the arts.
It has been a passion of Greg Fumsgeld, our artistic director and conductor, and also it's a great passion of mine. And it really has grown so tremendously the way we work with young people in the last 20-30 years under Greg's tenure. And it all started with the Bach to School program, which began in 1993, and that's the program that we actually do in the schools, which is a very interactive and imaginative program that we do with really K through 12 students in different formats, and especially focusing on the elementary school age for that program. and that has introduced now more than 110,000 students to Bach and the genius of Bach and his life and times, and in a way that relates so well to young children. And then after that, we first did a family concert as part of the centennial, our centennial celebration, and that was back in 2001. And the whole idea of that was to inspire kids that had already been enthused by their experience with Bach to school, to give them an opportunity to come with their parents and mentors, so that the spark could be nourished by further experience. And the family concert has really become a laboratory of working with all different kinds of art forms to enhance the learning about Bach in classical music. So we've involved young singers and instrumentalists in the programs. We've involved young composers, actors, dancers, visual artists in the experience, and that has been such a joy. And then, of course, we expanded in 2005. We expanded to the Bach at Noon program, which has become really a phenomenon, which is the programs that we do seven times a year in Bethlehem at Central Moravian Church, and now three times a year in Allentown at St. John's Lutheran Church. These are noontime programs, just 40 minutes long, with one instrumental piece and one choral piece that produce capacity audiences every time. I mean, we have, in Bethlehem, we have 800 to 1,000 people coming to these noontime concerts where Greg talks about the music. Also, it's a more informal program, and of course he has a wonderful personality and way with the audience, and can speak to people of all ages and all levels of sophistication, and engage them in further learning about the music. And then most recently we've expanded the work that we do with young people at the festival, the Bach Festival in May, with projects such as Zimmerman's Coffee House, which showcases young talent in a format which is modeled on the famous Zimmerman's Coffee House in Bach's time in Leipzig, where they premiered a lot of works by Bach and his contemporaries performed by students. So that's really fun, and it's a very much an unbuttoned evening with German-themed food and drink, and a really lovely atmosphere for these young people to perform in. And Greg also makes an appearance with some of the festival soloists to add to the festivities. And then most recently of all, we formed this alliance with the Bel Canto Children's Chorus, which is tremendously exciting. We had done various collaborations with Bel Canto Children's Chorus in Britain's St. Nicholas, and in our recording A Child's Christmas in Bethlehem. And in January of last year, we launched this alliance with them. They're now the Bel Canto Children's Chorus of the Bach Choir of Bethlehem. And our next collaboration is actually at our spring concert on March 26th. When they're collaborating with us in Leonard Bernstein's Mass and in the wonderful Bach motet, Jesu meine Freude. So that's something your listeners should put on their calendar as well as the family concert.
And this particular family concert, I can't imagine a more enchanting story, so appropriate, and bringing in the marionettes, and we know the ancient tradition in Europe of marionettes. Tell us how this project came about.
Well, we're so fortunate to have Doug Roysden and his Mock Turtle Marionette Theater located right here in Bethlehem, and I personally have known of their exquisite work for many, many years. Even before I was at the Bach Choir, when I worked with Touchstone Theatre, I had several occasions to collaborate with Doug Roysden, and I actually saw his first adaptation of Hans Christian Andersen's fairy tale, The Nightingale, back in 1985, and that was for tiny little marionettes. So we'd been looking for a while, and Greg was very interested in this as well, in doing a collaboration with Mock Turtle and the Bach Choir and Bach Festival Orchestra. So we did quite a bit of research on stories. We brought several possible stories forward as vehicles for a collaboration, and Greg and Doug and I sat and looked at a whole bunch of stories, and we really came out with the Nightingale as being such a perfect vehicle for this collaboration, because its whole theme really is the life-giving force of music. And so the idea of having the puppets with the live choral and instrumental music just seemed the most perfect of all the stories we looked at. But what Doug wanted to do, obviously, in this context, instead of using the tiny marionettes, he has recently started working a lot with much larger puppets. These puppets are 4 feet high, and they are articulated more in a bunraku, Japanese bunraku style, or rod puppet style, each puppet articulated by 2 or 3 puppeteers at a time. They're just amazing, when the way each character is so beautifully and distinctly brought to life. And one of the decisions we came to was that although the Hans Christian Andersen tale was originally set in Japan with the Japanese emperor, we decided to set it in Germany, and it fits really well in 17th century Germany, because that of course fits with the Baroque music that we wanted to be part of this, and it really translates so well. And of course, especially the voice of the Nightingale, we have a wonderful virtuoso recorder player that Greg Fumskeld invited, who's played with us at the festivals, Tricia Van Urs. She's just remarkable. She plays all the recorders from the Sopranino down to the larger ones. And we had the idea with Doug that she would actually emerge from the orchestra and interact more closely with the puppets as the kind of embodying the voice of the Nightingale. And that, I'm just thrilled with that. And then also, it fits so well, the story, I think, with the transcendence of Bach's music and the theme of life and death, and again, the life-giving force of music at the end, when death is sitting on the heart of the emperor, and the Nightingale lifts death from the heart of the emperor. It fits so perfectly with the Bach music that Greg has chosen, and other Baroque music too. There's a section with the Lacrimosa from the Mozart Requiem, and then there's the joyful, it ends with the joy of the final chorus of Cantata 34, peace over Israel, Frieda over Israel. He's chosen just wonderful, wonderful music for the whole thing. One of my favorites is the theme of the Nightingale that runs through the play is François Couperin's Le Rossignol en Amour, and that's such a beautiful melody that Tricia plays, and it appears at all the key moments in the play. And then also the wonderful recorded duet that accompanies Sheep May Safely Graze, Bach's Sheep May Safely Graze, that's another one. But I should also mention another theme in the story is the real music that comes from the soul versus artificial mechanical music, because if you remember in the wonderful original story by Hans Christian Andersen, the Nightingale is brought to the court of the emperor to to sing and to cheer him. But then there's the malevolent character in the play brings this artificial nightingale that, instead of being the little brown bird with the beautiful voice, is this ruby and diamond encrusted artificial nightingale. And eventually the emperor banishes the real nightingale back to the forest because the nightingale won't sing the same tune over and over to accompany the artificial nightingale, and has to improvise from its soul when it sings. And so it's banished back to the forest, but then the artificial nightingale, the mechanical nightingale, breaks, and that's when the emperor begins to despair, and then his loyal friend, the real nightingale, comes back. But Doug has a lot of humor in his writing of the story as well, which the children will love. I think they'll pick up on the deeper theme too, but they'll love the humor. And two of the things he does for that are around the way the amazing puppet that he's made for the artificial nightingale, and the way it's played. I won't give it all away because it's such a fun thing. And then the characters of the ghosts that haunt the palace. And they are really comical characters. And the music Greg chose for them is William Balcombe's Graceful Ghost Rag, which he'll be performing on harpsichord with our concertmaster Elizabeth Field on violin. And it's such perfect music for these ghosts. And of course, the ghosts eventually, when the real nightingale comes back, fade away. But the whole story is such a delight and so enchanting. You know, the triumph of love and loyalty and music.
It's timely too, Bridget. It's not something that's out of the past. That's a story in our digital world when these young people are living on their devices. It's important that they be reminded about the power of live music.
That's so perfect, Erica. That's exactly right. And that's what we've been talking about a lot. Yes, that's exactly it. And it's something, of course, that we care so much about, and what we've discovered in our interactions with young children is how inspired they are by the connection with live musicians. In fact, Greg likes to tell a story. One time there was a group of children that came to Bach at Noon from a school that we'd been doing some other collaborations with too, and afterwards one of them was talking to Greg and the soloists, and this young elementary school child said, "It sounds so real." and that's exactly it. It's so real. And children have so much stimulation all the time from the screen, what's on the screen. And this is a totally different experience for them. Actually, let me just tell you and your listeners that if you have to miss the premiere on February 26th, if you miss that, we are also, so much work has gone into this, and I think it really is going to be a masterpiece, that we are repeating the Nightingale at the two Saturday mornings of the Bach Festival in May, the morning of Saturday, May 13th, and the morning of Saturday, May 20th. So that'll be another chance to see the Nightingale.
I love the fact that your website is so simple and direct. Tell us how we can find out more.
Yes, just go to our website, which is bach.org, bach.org, and you will find all of the details. You can purchase tickets online there, and it's all very simple to do. Or you can also call our box office number, which is 610-866-4382, extension 115 or extension 110, and someone here will help you over the phone with tickets also. There will also be tickets available at the door on Sunday, February 26th. Let me tell you one more thing, that if you come to the 3 o'clock performance on Sunday, February 26th, after the performance, there'll be a chance for our young audience members to meet the puppets and interact with the puppeteers and some of the musicians as well, out in the atrium of Baker Hall's Honor Arts Center. I know that our young audiences will love that opportunity as well after they've seen the enchanting performance.
Bridget George, Executive Director of the Bach Choir of Bethlehem, speaking with us about The Nightingale, a collaboration between the Bach Choir and the Mock Turtle Marionette Theater this Sunday, February 26th at 3 in the afternoon at Baker Hall at the Zollner Arts Center on the campus of Lehigh University in Bethlehem, an adaptation of the Hans Christian Andersen much-loved fairy tale set with puppetry and movement by Mock Turtle Marionette Theater and live music by the Bach Choir and Bach Festival Orchestra, with recorder virtuoso Tricia Van Oors as the voice of the Nightingale. The production is directed by Doug Royston, and it's set in 17th century Germany. The story will include music by Bach, Sheep May Safely Graze, and choruses from Bach cantatas. This piece, The Nightingale in Love by François Couperin. We had a little taste of The Graceful Ghost Rag by William Balcom. And also there will be the Lacrimosa from Mozart's Requiem. For more information, on the web, bach.org, 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 for The Nightingale, with the Bach Choir of Bethlehem and the Bach Festival Orchestra, under the direction of Greg Fumfgeld, with recorder virtuoso Tricia Van Oors as the Nightingale. And they will be joined by the Mock Turtle Marionette Theater, under the direction of Doug Royston, and that's Sunday, February 26th, this Sunday afternoon at 3 at Baker Hall, and that's in the Zollner Arts Center at Lehigh University in Bethlehem. And if you can't attend this weekend, you can look ahead to the great Bach Festival in May and see a performance of The Nightingale Saturday morning, May 13th, or Saturday morning, May 20th. And you'll get all those details online at bach.org, B-A-C-H.org.